Well, good morning.
What a joy it is to be with you again today. If you don't know who I am, I'm Dave Kerr. I just retired from Trinity United Presbyterian Church in Modesto after 36 years. And I work on a very part-time basis for our presbytery. And I've committed with your session to join you as much as I can. And periodically we'll preach. I do want to introduce two of my very best friends are with us this morning, and that's Dick and Teresa Haggerty. So you want to welcome them with me? Now I'm excited because I get to introduce the 7-week sermon series that you also will have a 40-day devotional series beginning on Wednesday, because we're entering the season of Lent. And so during these 7 Sundays, we're going to be looking at different prayers of the Psalms. And I have the opportunity to introduce the first one. It's Psalm 32, and it's all about confession. So what you heard Amanda say, hear the word of God speak to your heart. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I was silent, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as if the heat of the summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave my iniquity, the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you in a time when you may be found. Surely, in the rush of waters, they will not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like the horse or the mule without understanding, which must be curbed and the bit and the bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Boy, what a powerful psalm that is. I hope that you'll take time this next week and reread through it. So we start our series, A Journey Through Lent. Wednesday night, as you already heard, we're going to have Ash Wednesday night. It's the beginning of Lent. If you haven't picked up your daily devotional, 40-day devotional, please pick it up today. I've gone through the beginnings of it, and it's a powerful devotional. I think you'll thoroughly enjoy it. Wednesday, the devotional for the Ash Wednesday service is going to be day one's devotional. That really deals with the fact that we are created from dust, and we will return to dust. Psalm 32 reminds us of what happens in between that. In the meantime, we're marred with original sin, and our lives that we live now reflect the consequences of the sin state that we live in. Now, you'll find that in these devotionals, each day will bring us back to the victorious reality that Jesus conquered sin and death and offers renewal in life. So the goal of this week's journey through Lent is to understand that renewal only happens as we begin to understand that the dangers of sin, the nature and the joy of repentance, and God's awesome gift of forgiveness. So that's what we're focusing on this week. So let's start with Lent. What does Lent mean? Now, many of you know, but it comes, and you'll read this in your devotional guide, it comes from the Old English word to lengthen, or more realistic, spring. You see, we're entering in a season where the days are lengthening and new life is springing from the ground, as we know. It's a time when we anticipate the victory of the light and the life of Jesus over darkness, sin, and death. So Lent is an observation where we bring ourselves back to that reality over the next 40 days. It's a season of joyful repentance. It's joyful because the goal of repentance is to bring renewal and new life to our lives. It's a time of remembering that we are weak, that we are literally unable to change ourselves, and that we're completely and wholly dependent upon God to make us new. So these truths penetrate our hearts primarily through prayer. So that's why the 7-week prayer series that you're going to have up until Easter. So we begin today with Psalm 32. Psalm 32 addresses the danger of sin, the nature of joyful repentance, and the gift of God's awesome forgiveness. Psalm 32 is all about communication. Honestly and painfully knowing who we are and whose we are. And honestly and painfully coming before the Creator. There was a woman that was very unhappy in her marriage, so she decided to file for divorce. At the hearing, the judge says, "You're asking for a divorce. Do you have any grounds?" She said, "Yes, we have 2 acres. "That's not what I'm asking," the judge said with kind of an edge on his voice. "I mean, do you have a grudge?" The woman responded, "No, we couldn't afford a garage. We have 2 parking places on the street." Now the judge was really kind of getting upset. And he says, "Does your husband beat you up?" She said, no, I get up before my husband does almost every day. Finally, in exasperation, the judge says, "Just tell me why you want a divorce." She whined and said, "Well, we just aren't able to communicate." Do you ever have a problem communicating with God? Think about the way we greet people. Most of us greet people by, "Hey, how are you?" You know, that "how are you" is very interesting. It shows that the health of a person is very important to us. Health means that people are feeling good. I wonder how many of us pay as close attention to our spiritual well-being as we do our physical well-being. Now, health is really important. I mean, we need to eat right. We need to exercise. We need to have regular checkups to see how we're doing. Well, but what about our spiritual health? Aren't our souls that are going to last for eternity more important than our physical bodies, which are not going to last for all of our eternity? So if I were to ask you this morning, how is your spiritual health? How would you answer? Do you even know how to assess your spiritual well-being? Well, if you aren't, listen to David in Psalm 32. David says, "If you conceal your sin, you're sick." He says, "If you confess your sin, you are recovering." And then he says, "If you cling onto this awesome forgiveness of God, you are well." We're not exactly sure when David wrote Psalm 32. But most everybody would agree that David wrote this sometime after Nathan came and confronted him of his sin. You remember the story? David is innocently looking out over the housetops and sees Bathsheba bathing, and then gets the idea that he needs to go and sleep with her. And the consequences of that is she becomes pregnant. So he schemes on how he's going to solve this issue. And so remember, she brings her husband Uriah back from the battle so that he can enjoy a night with Bathsheba, and then he would think the baby is his and all is good, right? Except for Uriah was a good man. He comes back from battle and he says, I couldn't possibly enjoy myself with my men on the front lines giving their lives for their country. And so he doesn't sleep with her. So now David's in big trouble, so he goes to plan B. You remember plan B? He sends Uriah out into battle at the front line so that he's the point person. And just like David thought, Uriah is murdered. He's killed. David has him murdered. So then David takes Bathsheba as his wife. You know, all looked good, but there was one problem. God was fully and totally aware with what he'd done. And it really worked for about a year until God sent Nathan as his prophet to speak into David's life. And when David heard Nathan, he was convicted and he confessed his sin. And in Psalm 32, he says, silence is not golden when it comes to hiding your sins. The truth is, David would reinforce, you're sick if you try to conceal your sin in your life. In Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4, David says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. Day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as the heat of the summer. David compared living in sin and not confessing it with all of his energy being sapped out, just like our August summer days that can get up to be 110, and we just don't feel like going out and working. David didn't find any reprieve from how he felt until he was confronted and then confessed his sin. Have you ever experienced what David is talking about? You know, when I was real young, I went to the store with my mom and I took candy. I know it seems strange that somebody as heavenly as I am would steal from a store. But I took candy and I hid it, and I got home and I ate it. And then all of a sudden I got this heavy feeling about me that I'd done something really, really, really bad. So finally, after a couple days, I went to my mom and I said, I got to tell you what I did. I feel so bad. You know what she did? She was a wise woman. She took me back to the store. She had me meet with the store manager. She had me confess what I'd done. And then she had me pay for the candy out of my allowance. But that taught me a great lesson that David would like to teach today. If you haven't ever suffered from a guilty conscience, I want to tell you this morning that it's not because you've never done anything wrong. In fact, if you think that you've never done anything wrong, then you're sick in another way. 1 John 1 says that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not within us. The scriptures say in Romans 3:23, we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. That's the reality that we live in. But one reason that people may not acknowledge their sin is because they don't really know what sin is. Interesting, Psalm 32 has four Hebrew words for sin. They are translated into the English as rebellion, perversion, crossing the line, and missing the mark. Let me take a minute and just talk about missing the mark. Many people believe that God will accept them the way they are because they've done their best to live a moral life. In other words, they've done their best to hit the mark that God wants them to hit when it comes to morality. The problem is the people have a picture of the mark, the target, as being huge, like on the side of a barn, when in reality, God says that his target is more like a pinpoint. Literally, impossible to hit time after time after time. But not only is it the size of a pinpoint, because of our sin-sick nature, we are shooting blindfolded. We are shooting disoriented. We're shooting with a bow that's defective and arrows that don't fly straight. That's the picture, church, that David is picturing for us here in this psalm. That we will never hit the target 100% of the time. And even if we think we've come close, there is no difference between an inch and a mile. A miss is a miss. In God's view of things, it's not good enough to do our best to love God with all our heart and our soul and our mind. It's not good enough to love our neighbor as best we can. If we try to deny that, we're sick. So naturally, the first step to recovery is to acknowledge that we have a sin problem. It's like a 12-step program. We come to church on Sunday morning. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. If we say we aren't, then we're just lying to ourselves. So I get up in front of you and I say, good morning. My name is Dave and I'm a sinner. You see what I mean? We acknowledge the fact that we live sin-sick lives. That's the first step. The second step, David says, is confession. In verse 5, he said, when I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity, Lord, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So to confess our sins doesn't just mean to admit that we've sinned. It means to truly be sorry for the hurt and the offense that we've caused. Now, if I don't acknowledge my sin and offense that I've made is hurtful, then I won't see a need to change. So confession is not recovery till we take the next step. Recovery comes when we cling to the forgiveness of Jesus, the death that he won over sin for you and I. Judas is a good example. Think about Judas. He confessed fully his sin, that he had betrayed Jesus to the Sanhedrin. But he never fully received or clung to the forgiveness that Jesus offers. So peace for our guilty conscience comes only when we know and believe that God has taken care of our sin-sick issue. David says that's when peace comes. Look at verse 1 and 2. He says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man and woman whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit there is no deceit. To be blessed means to be happy, but even more than that, true happiness comes when we acknowledge that our sins are forgiven. This means that God is no longer going to punish us for our sin. This means that we are once again right with God. It also means that we have the confidence that death is not the end of the road. It's only the beginning of a beautiful life with Jesus that goes for eternity. Knowing that our sins are forgiven doesn't just give us strength and confidence for the future, but it gives us that confidence today. David said in Psalm 32, verse 10, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts him. Man, what a beautiful promise, isn't it? That when we trust God, he surrounds us with a life preserver. That even through the hard times in life, even through the hopeless times of life, he is in the process of preserving us all the way through. So this morning, how is your spiritual health? When's the last time you really checked? At your baptism? At your confirmation? Let me ask you, When's the last time you ever had a physical? Was it at birth? Was it when you're a teenager? No, that would be ridiculous. We have regular checkups to make sure that we're doing our optimal amount in our health history, aren't we? And the same is true for our spiritual well-being. So how's your spiritual health? I pray that it's as healthy as David's, because what he said is so true this morning. Verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And blessed are you if you know and believe that. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come.